That's Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth, like the heights of Zaphon, is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, like pain, that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of tarnish, shattered by an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen, in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, God makes her secure forever. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love, like your name, O God. Your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go round her, count her towers, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end.
Thank you, Yanni. Hi, I'm Adam, and I'm one of the occasional preachers here at St. Matthew's. I want to start today by asking you a question. Where do you feel safe? They say an Englishman's home is his castle. Well, we do what we can to keep it safe, to keep it safe from intruders. We all have locks on our doors. Many of us might have alarms to use when we go away or maybe at night. And maybe even you have a security camera covering a drive or a garden. Well, the need to feel safe is in some ways like the need for food and for water. If we don't have it, then we'll drop everything until we do. And the events over the last few weeks, as we've been seeing on the news in Afghanistan, show that. Thousands have tried to flee the Taliban, doing whatever they can to get onto one of those last few planes, leaving everything behind, their homes, their possessions, trying to escape, to find somewhere safe. Well, the psalm that we're looking at tonight, this evening, is a psalm of safety, all about where God's people found their safety nearly 3,000 years ago. And their place of safety was the great city of God, Jerusalem. Just scan through those verses of the psalm with me. Verse 1, the city of God, his holy mountain. Verse 2, Mount Zion, the city of the great king. Verse 8, in the city of the Lord God Almighty, in the city of our God. Verse 11, Mount Zion rejoices. And then in verse 12, walk about Zion. Well, Jerusalem isn't mentioned by name, but it's clearly what's being sung about. Throughout much of the Bible, Jerusalem is referred to as God's city. It's where he chose for his temple to be built. And the Mount Zion that's referred to here is a hill in Jerusalem where that temple was built. But we don't have to look far to see that the psalm isn't so much about the great city of God as it is about the great God of the city. The one that makes Jerusalem safe. The psalmist makes that clear at the very start. Look again at verse 1. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. God is the one that's great. He is the one that is worthy of praise. And the psalm gives us three reasons why God is great and worthy of that praise. The first reason is his defense, God's defense. Look at verses 2 and 3 with me. beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. We're told here of the beauty of Jerusalem, but it's not like the beauty of Cambridge with its history and its architecture, but instead it's its loftiness, its height, a height that brings defense. And Mount Zaphon here was the near eastern version of Mount Olympus, the unreachable high home of the gods, the one that no one could get to, that was safe, unreachable. And that's what Jerusalem is. And verse 3 makes it even clearer. Jerusalem is a fortress. It has citadels, big, strong walls and towers surrounding the city and keeping it safe. Well, that might not sound great to us today when we're more used to English heritage ruined castles, or where dynamite could easily blow a hole in a wall. But when this psalm was written, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, there was nothing better. Imagine yourself back a few hundred years before gunpowder was invented, and you're outside the big, strong walls of a castle, like the Tower of London, and it's your job to get in. All you have is a spear, and before you are big, strong walls surrounded with archers peering over, and behind the gates there are others with boiling oil just ready to pour it onto you. I don't think you'd be feeling very confident. The only real way to get into a well-defended, fortified city was to starve the defenders out. And given a good stock of food and some wells, that could last for a very long time. When the Assyrians took Samaria in the northern kingdom of Israel, it took a 3-year siege to defeat it. But it's not the citadels themselves that make Jerusalem safe. It's the one that defends it. In verse 3, it's God that is in the citadels. He's its defending garrison. And again in verse 3, it's not that Jerusalem is a fortress. It's that God himself is the fortress. He is the one that is keeping Jerusalem safe. Not only do they live in a big, strong city, but it's God himself that's walking around the ramparts, keeping them safe. And this safety, this defense, it isn't just something the psalmist thinks is a theory that he's heard about, but it's something that he's seen for himself. Look again with me at verses 4-8, where we can see God's deliverance, which would be the next point on the slide, God's deliverance. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them. Pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God. God makes her secure forever. In verse 8, the Israelites had heard that God would defend them, but now they've seen it. And what they've seen is there in verse 4. Kings coming to Jerusalem to take it by force. But those kings don't. Verses 5, 6, and 7 show them astounded, fleeing, in pain, shattered, and destroyed at the hands of God. And in a psalm celebrating the safety of God, the most vivid pictures are the exact opposite. the pain of a woman in childbirth, and a fleet of ships torn apart in a storm. And that's because safety for Jerusalem fully and finally comes when the enemy is defeated. And that's what happens to this army. God completely destroyed them. Well, over the centuries, many kings have tried to take Jerusalem. And we're not directly told which is being referred to here. But most commentators seem to agree that it's probably the Assyrian king Sennacherib that tried to take the city in around 701 BC. It's something that's recorded in 2 Kings 18 and Isaiah 37. And this is what Isaiah 37 has to say about it. It's from verse 33. "Therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter the city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it, for my sake and for the sake of David my servant. Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, they were all dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there." The superpower of the day, Assyria, came to destroy Jerusalem. And like all the other nations around it, they would have been destroyed. But the Israelites turned to God, and he delivered them. He quickly and easily destroyed the biggest, strongest army of the day, and sent those few that survived packing. And it seems that that great delight in being saved leads the psalmist to reflect on a third reason why God is great: his dependable blessings. God's dependable blessings. Look at verse 9 with me. "Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments." Again, we're pointed to Jerusalem, but this time it's to the temple on Mount Zion, inside the city walls. And there we see the people meditating on God's unfailing love, the great love that he has for his people, a love that has led him to save them. And in the next few verses, there are even more reasons why God is great. He's praiseworthy in verse 10. And again in verse 10, he's righteous. And he has good judgments in verse 11. Not only has he saved them, but it's a blessing to have God as their God and to live under him. And that's a blessing that they can rely on. His love, in verse 9, is unfailing. And later we'll see in verse 14 that this is their God forever and ever, guiding them to the end. The people of Jerusalem could depend on him. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The people of Jerusalem depended on him to save them, and he did. And so naturally, they rejoice and are glad in verse 11. Like on VE Day, where crowds flooded the streets to celebrate victory at the end of the war. But here in Jerusalem, they see past the victory to celebrate the one that brought the victory for them, their faithful, dependable God. Well, Assyria didn't take Jerusalem in 701 BC, but it wasn't many generations later that another ancient superpower, Babylon, did. And they were just the first in a long line of foreigners to rule over the city. So is this psalm wrong? Did God's love fail? Or was he unable to protect them? Well, no. Verse 3 showed us that God, not Jerusalem, is the fortress. And when the people of Judah turned from God, he left Jerusalem. And in fact, he foretold its destruction. So then, what does this psalm mean for us today? If we can't look to Jerusalem for safety, where can we look? Well, Jerusalem has changed in the last 2,700 years. But God hasn't. He's the same God today as he was then. The great God of the city is the great God of the church. He still offers defense and deliverance, just not in modern day Jerusalem. Hebrews 12 has some helpful verses to see what it means for us today. This is from verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Christians now are also residents of Jerusalem, but not the city that still exists in modern day Israel, but the heavenly Jerusalem. And this isn't just a future thing, but a present too. Verse 22 of Hebrews 12 says, "You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." And so, if we come to God the Father through Jesus, we can find safety as residents of God's city. He will defend us, he will deliver us, and we can depend on him. Now, that's not to say there won't be problems or troubles or difficulties that we'll need to face. But we can have confidence that God will keep us safe through it, with our place in heaven assured. Our first reading was from Romans 12, where Paul speaks of just that. Just to remind us, here are two verses from it, verse 38. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Well, just as God kept his people who trusted in him safe behind Jerusalem's walls, he will keep his people today safe in their faith. There's nothing that can separate us from God's love. And it's nothing that we do. It's what God does for us. We don't need to go looking for it. It's something that we already have in Jesus. All we need to do is continue to trust in him to provide it. And then finally, verses 12 onwards tell us what the psalmist thinks that we need to do in response. We need to come see and tell. Come see and tell. Verse 12. "Walk about Zion, go around her, count her towers, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end." The psalmist calls on his fellow Jews to come and look at Jerusalem, to get on the tour bus and take a tour of the city highlights. Consider the ramparts. How damaged are they after the Assyrian king came? Not at all. Count the towers and see they're all still standing strong. And see the great strong citadels, all still there. The king of Assyria came to Jerusalem and it's still untouched, or it was untouched. Come and see just how safe the city of God is. But again, like the rest of the psalm, it's not so much come and see Jerusalem, as it is come and see God, see what he's like. In verse 14, for this God is our God forever and ever. It's not that this is Jerusalem, our city forever and ever, but this is God. Come and look at God's city, for this shows what the God of the city is like. And what's the reason to come and see? Well, it's there in verse 13, that you may tell of them to the next generation. This isn't a tourist advert, but an important lesson for the people to learn and to pass it on. The generation that wrote this, well, they'd heard about God's defense. They'd seen his deliverance and depended on his safety. And they take great joy in that. And now they see the need to pass it on to the next generation so that they will know and depend on him too. Well, as nice a city as modern-day Jerusalem is, these verses aren't calling us to book the next flight to Jerusalem, even if we could do. If we did, we'd see that the city walls are completely different. They were built by one of the many invaders of Jerusalem back in the 1500s. And the temple? Well, it's long gone, destroyed by the Romans. And where it once stood is now a huge mosque. But we can still come and see what God is like for ourselves. We can see it in the words of the Bible. Take a tour of the Gospels. See the sights of the Old Testament. Count for yourself how God has saved his people again and again. See God's unfailing love, how Jesus died and gave himself so that we can be forgiven. Well, if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, I'd encourage you to do just that. Go and look for yourself in the Bible. And if you are a Christian, then please go and look for yourself as well. Daily Bible reading is a great way to make sure we keep relying on God. But don't just look. We should be telling others too, especially here in these verses. It's the next generations that need to know for themselves. If you're a parent, then pointing your children to God, to what Jesus has done for us on the cross, is one of the most important things that we can do. But it's also something we can do together as a church, which is why at the morning services there are children's groups and talks, or the likes of Jaffa and youth work during the week. Well, if you're involved in that work, first I want to say as a parent, thank you, and please keep going at it. And if you aren't involved in it, then it's something that we can be praying for and supporting as well. Well, if we want to find full, certain safety, then we need to come to God through Jesus. Like he did thousands of years ago for the people of Jerusalem, we can depend on God to defend us and to deliver us. He is greater than anything, and so he can keep us safe. He always will. So keep going back to the Bible and see that and tell it to others. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end.